Despite the overflow of humanity present for the Congress at the Royal Palace, the hall, where Kelladry of Mindelin now walked, was deserted. There were no servants to be seen, no echo of the footsteps, laughter, or talk that filled the sprawling residence sounded here, only Kel's steps and the click of her dog's claws on the stone floor. They made an interesting pair. The 14-year-old girl was big for her age, 5 feet 9 inches tall, and dressed informally in breeches and shirt. Both were a dark green that emphasized the same color in her green hazel eyes. Her dark boots were comfortable, not fashionable. On her belt hung a pouch and a black-hilted dagger in a plain black sheath. Her brown hair was cut to earlobe length. It framed a tanned face, dusted with freckles across a delicate nose. Her mouth was full and decided. The dog, known as Jump, was barrel-chested with slightly bowed forelegs. His small triangular eyes were set deep in a head shaped like a heavy chisel. He was mostly white, but black splotches covered the end of his nose, his lone whole ear, and his rump. His tail plainly had been broken twice. He looked like a battered foot soldier to Kel's young squire, and he had proved his combat skills often. At the end of the hall stood a pair of wooden doors carved with the sun, the symbol of Mithros, god of law and war. They were ancient. The surfaces around the sun curved deep after centuries of polishing. Their handles were crude iron, as coarse as the fittings on a barn door. Kel stopped. Of the pages who had just passed the great examinations to become squires, she was the only one who had not come here before. Pages never came to this hall. Legend held that pages who visited the Chapel of the Ordeal never became squires. They were disgraced or killed. But once they were squires, the temptation to see the place where they would be tested on their fitness for knighthood was irresistible. Kel reached for the handle and opened one door just enough to admit her and Jump. There were benches placed on either side of the room from the door to the altar. Kel slid onto one, glad to give her wobbly knees a rest. Jump sat in the aisle beside her. After her heart calmed, Kel inspected her surroundings. This chapel, focus of so many longings, was plain. The floor was gray stone flags, the benches were polished wood without ornament. Windows set high in the walls on either side were as stark as the room itself. Ahead was the altar. Here, at least, was decoration. Gold candlesticks and an altar cloth that looked like gold chainmail. The sun disc on the wall behind it was also gold. Against the gray stone, the dark benches and the wrought iron cressets on the walls, the gold looked tawdry. The iron door to the right of the sun disc drew Kel's eyes. There was the Chamber of the Ordeal. Generations of squires had entered it to experience something. None told what they saw. They were forbidden to speak of it. Whatever it was, it usually let squires return to the chapel to be knighted. Some who entered the chamber failed. A yearmate of Kel's brother Anders had died 3 weeks after his ordeal without ever speaking. 2 years after that, a squire from Fief Janholm left the chamber, refused his shield, and fled, never to be seen again. At midwinter in 453, months before the Immortals' War broke out, a squire went mad there. 5 months later, he escaped his family and drowned himself. The chamber is like a cutter of gemstones, Anders had told Kel once. It looks for your flaws and hammers them till you crack open. And that's all I or anyone will say about it. The iron door seemed almost separate from the wall, more real than its surroundings. Kel got to her feet, hesitated, then went to it. Standing before the door, she felt a cold draft. Kel wetted suddenly dry lips with her tongue. Jump whined. I know what I'm doing, she told her dog, without conviction, and set her palm on the door.